Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and we're going to be talking about gourds today to begin the show with our gourd girl, Terry Schmidt, back with us once again. She's the founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society, helps put together the annual Midwest Gourd Fest that's coming up pretty quick. And maybe you've gone to that festival before, by the way. I hope join in with your comments about that. What do you enjoy about gourds? Questions about growing them or about gourd art? We'd certainly love to hear from you. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. And Terry Schmidt, welcome back.
Hey, Larry, it's good to be here.
Good to have you back. What do you love about gourds?
Oh, their versatility, I think. I think that's probably the best thing. They're used for utensils in some cultures. They're used for art in a lot of places. They're used for musical instruments. They're used just for decoration as a raw gourd sitting around. You can do a lot of things with gourds. There's no right or wrong to them. Yeah.
You know, you gave me a gourd. How many years ago was it now? Probably 3-4 years ago. And I took it home and I drilled a hole in it about the size of what you'd expect a small bird would get into. Mm-hmm. I put it up because it was about this time of the year, and it wasn't 2 days, and I had a house finch, a pair in there, and that gourd has not moved from that tree branch in those years, and every year you get a new little bird in it.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, a lot of times we'll have wrens in them. And last winter, in the spring, actually, was the first time that I noticed chickadees in some that we had just hanging in a pine tree. When I hang them up wherever, and not necessarily to see if we get the gourds. And we had chickadees in there, and I didn't even know chickadees would go into a nest like that, but they would be on the inside of the gourd, and you could hear them tapping from the inside of the gourd. I don't know if they were moving furniture or what they were doing in there, but yeah, they're very noisy.
And you know, that gourd, I leave it out all year, you know, and I thought, I wonder if it's going to start looking crappy, but you know, it ages.
Sure.
And it takes on a new look.
Every year.
It's
a little
different. It's pretty.
Yeah, and it's probably one of those things like, now, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you move it, I don't know, you might find something that you don't
well,
like.
Well, yeah, I guess I have a good, and I tied it with some twine that I wondered if it was going to last, but I'm not even going to tempt myself by pulling on
it. Don't do it. Don't do it. We did have gourds on the property when we first got married that they had been up there for, I think, like 12 years. And then finally the thing that they were on fell down. The gourds were fine, but the hanger broke.
Well, you mentioned chickadees, and I think Colette in River Falls has something to talk with us about. Hi, Colette.
Hi. I put up and decorate gourds. I love to grow and decorate gourds. But one year, behind our house, I put up a birdhouse for chickadees. Uh-huh. Just for birds. And a chickadee moved in. That chickadee, even though it was cleaned out, cleaned and worked on the inside of that birdhouse for a week. You could just see it vibrating. Well, she cleaned it out so well. In the fall, it fell down. And she had cleaned it out so it was thin as a sheet of typing paper when she finally moved out.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I wonder if when they're doing that, maybe they're using that material for their nest, if that's what they're doing.
It could be, but it was as thin as can be. You could just see her scraping and scraping.
Oh, my gosh.
And now the other thing I like gourds is I put them up for wrens, because wrens are very aggressive, and if they don't have nesting places, they will go in the bluebird houses and actually kill female bluebirds on the nest. So I like to have a lot of gourds out for wrens. And I love how they sound. And if they have some place to nest, they won't kill the bluebirds.
Yeah, and wrens also, if you have two houses near each other, a wren will build in both of them. So it looks like somebody's next door because they don't like neighbors.
There you go, Colette. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. What about you? Have you had an experience with gourds? I hope you'll join in, 800-642-1234, or maybe just have a question about gourds. Give us a call or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Well, gourds have an interesting history, but before we go to that, I want to get Bob from Kewaunee on, because he's got a question that relates to what we've been talking about, I think. Bob, hi.
Good morning. I don't know if I have missed. I just tuned in. I was wondering what size hole that you would put in for the different types of birds you're trying to attract.
Mm-hmm. So it depends on the bird, and you can actually find a list of hole sizes online if you just Googled, like, you know, bird hole sizes. But usually for a wren, I use a one-inch hole drill, and I think it's recommended that they're, like, you know, just a little under an inch to about an inch and a sixteenth, and so a one-inch hole is usually perfect.
Well, that keeps sparrows out.
I can't be responsible for where sparrows go. I don't know that.
Yeah.
They're such a pain.
I know.
Yeah, I know. I didn't have that trouble. I've got an inch hole.
Yeah.
And I have not had sparrows trying to get in there.
We have lots of sparrows on the farm, and I don't think I've ever seen sparrows in the birdhouses. They might not like that kind of environment.
Okay, well, yeah, I have all kinds of different sparrows, but I was speaking particularly of the English sparrow.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've got in mass around my house, and they do not go to my gourd. So,
very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bob. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in 800-642-1234. Give a call. Well, now what about the history of the gourd? I was reading some fascinating stuff about the history of the bottle gourd.
Yeah, just the average gourd. So, first of all, there's a really good book out there called The Garden of Gourds, and it's by H. Liberty Bailey. It might be out of print, but you can usually get these like through A Books or someplace like that. And he has a whole chapter on the history of gourds, and it's very interesting because he's probably written more about the history of them in terms of where they started, where they came from, how they got here, than anybody else. And as you read through that chapter, everything is contradicted by the one sentence contradicts the next, because maybe the seed came from here and traveled through this current, but then that doesn't sound right. So maybe there's just a wave of thought on how gourds were populated in the world, but there's really no set knowledge for sure. The gathered information, it seems like gourds started in Africa.
Yeah.
They were certainly used for utensils and bowls for fishing. When they would fish, they would put the fish in the gourd bowls to hold on to them. And the oldest gourds that have been carbon dated were found on the west side of Africa. It's assumed that they went via current to South America and then kind of worked their way up. So there's a lot of argument about how they, once they went, because a gourd can actually just float for years and the seeds will remain viable. A gourd seed is usually viable for about 6 years. So there's a lot of argument about, well, yeah, but who planted it when it got over there? And so it is a cultivated crop. It's the oldest cultivated crop in history, in our history. But they will grow on their own. We get plenty of volunteer gourds. And so I think initially when the gourds made it to the Americas, then they grew themselves and eventually
grew wild. Yeah, yep. That's what I read. And that was like 10,000 years ago or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, they're pretty old. They've been used for everything. And you mentioned that they were in Haiti used for the currency, and the currency in Haiti is still called the gourd.
Is that right?
Yeah, it is still called the gourd. It's G-O-U-R-D-E, the gourd. Yeah. And the other interesting thing about them is that back in thousands of years ago, I think it was in Egypt, that they were used for trepanning, I think it's called trepanning, which was if they had to do surgery on your skull to remove a part of your skull to get something out or to whatever, they used gourds to replace your cranium.
Oh my goodness.
And they have found skulls with gourds attached in them. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness me. Well, so. That's something I didn't see when I was reading through the history.
Yeah.
At the interesting thing for me was as you were describing the history, it was one of the first plants to be cultivated. Mm-hmm. So it was one of the first.
It was the first plant
the
known
first
to be ever be cultivated, yes.
Yeah. And it's probably one of the few plants that perhaps is grown around the world. Grown.
Pretty much. I mean, you find it, if you go back, to thousands and thousands of years ago, you find it in Japan, you find it in Africa, you find it in, everywhere you find it in the Americas. I had made a note last night about in Africa, the earliest one that they were able to carbon date was 574 A.D.
Ah.
So a while ago.
That's a while back.
Right.
Terry Schmidt, our guest, founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society. We're talking about gourds, and we're going to get into the Midwest Gourd Fest as well. It's held April 14th, so it's coming right up in a few days at the Olbrich Botanical Gardens in Madison. So we'll learn some more about that, but we're also going to talk about growing gourds and how easy or difficult they are to grow, and take your questions. So 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer, here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at gourds with our guest, Terry Schmidt, founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society, Larry Mueller here. Give a call at 800-642-1234. Here I am losing my voice. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. I'd love to hear from some artists, too, what they do with gourds, because I think that's always so much fun. And I can remember you coming and playing an instrument made of a gourd, like a flute.
Right, yeah. I think one year I played it was a Native American type flute that I made with the help of a Native American guy up in Adams Friendship County. And he had a class, and there were about four or five of us that made these flutes out of our gourds. And then one year I brought another one called a gopichan, which is a stringed instrument, and it had a piece of split bamboo with a string on it, and then it went into the gourd that had a goat skin on it. But we've made, all kinds of drums and balafons, which is like a xylophone, all kinds of instruments with them. And, I mean, they're used in the world today all over the place as instruments, yeah.
I'm on our Ideas Network Facebook page, the Larry Mueller Show portion of it, and there's some wonderful photos that you yourself sent.
Mm-hmm.
There's one really brightly colored feeder that...
The long gourd?
The long
snake
gourd.
Yeah, that's a snake gourd. And so what I did, actually, I called it Four Seasons, and it's got four holes, and it was meant to be a birdhouse. So each section is a different season. So that's how that is. And you asked at the very beginning of this segment, about artists. And I did want to say a little bit about what we can use on gourds. We don't spend a lot of time on that. But in the photos there that you see, one, the larger birdhouse is wood burned, and then just has a beeswax over it. And that's a really great protection for birdhouses. Instead of coloring, because if you paint a birdhouse and it's going to be outside, the paint will eventually come off. But if you wood burn and you use beeswax, it'll last for a long time, and as long as the gourd. And if it discolors because of rain, you can just put more beeswax on it and it comes right back. It's kind of cool. But from for art that's going to be in the house or not outdoors, you can use acrylics, you can use stains, you can use dyes, you can use pencils, you can use Sharpie pens. You can use oils. You can use anything that you can put on a palette of any kind can go on a gourd, and it will work.
Well,
we've even used silk dyes.
Well, that birdhouse that you've got there, I mean, I would put that up in the house.
Yeah, yeah. Eventually, I gave that to somebody, and it went into her. She had a little atrium in her house. Yeah,
yeah. It's beautiful. Rose in Trade Lake, it's your turn. Thank you for calling, Rose.
Hi. I am wondering if gourds have the same effect on soil, similar to like sunflower seeds or sunflowers do, that can change the soil composition a little bit, or are they affected also if you plant them in an area that's had a walnut or a butternut?
Well,
and then also, can you trellis them?
Okay. So I don't know that gourds will actually change the composition of the soil, but for sure you don't want to put them under walnut trees. There are some, sometimes I have planted other cucurbits under walnuts that have made it, like butternut squash seems to be okay. But I just would not recommend it, because you just don't know how much the walnut has affected the soil in that area, and it just can do so many things to plants. So I would not. And can you trellis them? Absolutely. If you have an area that you, like the side of a barn or a garage that you want to sort of hide in the summertime, it's great to put little trellises against it and let them climb up. The smaller gourds, like the eggs and the miniatures, and also loofahs, when they grow, they're just beautiful, and they take to a trellis really well. And if you have a limited amount of planting space, you can put gourds like in a half oak barrel and trellis on that half oak barrel and put maybe three plants in there, and you can get a lot out of a small space.
I wonder about the when Rose is talking about changing the soil. I don't think it makes it more acid or more alkaline. Now, it may use up some nitrogen.
That's right. Right. And so if you're going to plant gourds, it's always good to rotate your crops. We rotate our crops so that we don't use the same area for 4 years. So we rotate every four. And that's just really for the health of the soil. Anything that you plant is going to somehow change the composition of the soil. And it's always good to let it rest or plant something different the next year.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, yep. Rose.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call, Rose. Yeah, I was thinking, of course, you have a pretty good size acreage when it comes to
well,
gourds.
We do, but we don't. We probably plant, I would say, maybe 2 acres of gourds a year. I mean, and that's a lot of gourds. That's a lot. I mean, we have had years where if we're planting miniatures, I think 1 year... we harvested like the gourd guy harvested 10,000 Tennessee spinners. And I have a photo of him. He's in his tractor and the bucket of the tractor is filled. And then he's got these trash cans all around him that are just overflowing with all of these miniature gourds. And he hasn't had to plant them in years because of that. So
what do you do with a miniature gourd?
Oh, a lot of people use them for ornaments. They're very small and cute, and you can use them for ornaments or in sculptures. You can use them for anything. Just color them and put them in a little basket. Who knows?
Yeah, why not? Well, we've got the Midwest Gourd Fest. I want to, before I go too far here and forget about it, we should talk about the Midwest Gourd Fest, and it's this weekend, coming weekend.
It is, yep. It's our annual. We changed the name to the Midwest Gourd Fest last year. It used to be the Wisconsin Gourd Festival.
Yeah.
And because the Illinois Gourd Society went belly up, and the Iowa Gourd Society went belly up, and so we kind of figured, well, we're the one. What's left. And we're close enough to Illinois and Iowa that they certainly can participate. You know, it's not that much of a distance to come. So we chose Midwest Gourd Fest as our name. And we always have it the second Saturday of April. Mm-hmm. We have had it at Olbrich since 2009.
Yeah.
And before that, we had it in Waukesha, and then we had it in Mineral Point. But it's been at Olbrich ever since, and it's just a one-day festival.
Good spot for it.
It's a great spot for it. You know, people that come into Olbrich just to come into Olbrich, then they're often very surprised at what they find, because we literally take over the entire building almost. But yeah, so it's open to the public. It's free admission, free parking, and there's a lot of activities.
There's art classes, I'm sure.
Yep, we have three classes going this year. So there's a whimsy class that I'm teaching, which is just a little whimsical person that hangs on the wall. It's very fun, and it's using beads and wire. And then Deb Reddy is teaching the ancient gourd vessel, which is kind of putting images on a gourd and makes it look very old. And then she's also teaching in the afternoon this oil stick gourd bowls, which is kind of a neat thing, using oil sticks to color. And it creates a beautiful, really beautiful gourd. And then you kind of put embellishments around the top of them. The classes are still open, and they'll be open on Saturday. And I think they're $35 per class. And I think the two of the classes, mine and one of Deb's, is in the morning starting at 9. So if you're interested, then you need to
There before 9.
Right. If you want to register ahead of time, you can go on the Gourd Society website and get the information. It's www.wisconsingourdsociety.org under the festival page. And there's class information there and contact information. So you can contact Deb, is really the one that takes the class registrations. But we do still have openings in the classes. So,
well, let's take a call here from Margot in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Margo, hi, what's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have, I think, three really old gourds that are perfectly dried out that have been sitting in my garage for, I bet you, 10 years.
Yeah.
I've always meant to make Burke houses out of them, but I've never done that. Are they too old and brittle to drill a hole in?
Never. You're never too old, Margo.
Myself or the bird house.
You are the gourd, right? So the gourd might outlive us.
Okay.
So once a gourd is dried, as long as it was a good gourd, then it'll just last forever. And if you've had it in a garage where maybe from time to time, if you're in Wisconsin, we get this, you might have a mouse or two that goes in your garage. If the mouse hasn't gone through the gourd, then your gourd is probably a pretty good gourd, because I think mice are very smart and they know that they're not going to go for anything that's too hard to get into. They're always going to look for the easiest food, right? So if it's a strong gourd, you can always test it by just like really trying to squish it. When my husband cleans gourds, before he puts them on the, you know, pile to sell, he literally just tries to break it. And so if it doesn't break, it's certainly worth doing it. They never get too old and brittle. That's just not.
And you
like
know
us.
What I did, Margo, and you probably have done this too, Terry. When I made my hole, I first used a very small drill bit. And then I made, you know, then I think I might have even used the next size up. And then I went with a bigger size drill bit that I wanted for it. And that worked really well.
Yeah, you can do it that way. The other way that, I mean, I'm not that careful, but then I have thousands of gourds to play with. So if I break one, it doesn't matter. But there is just a hole drill. And so it kind of has these teeth on it. So
I have one of those.
Yeah. Oh. So once it grabs onto the gourd, you just hang onto the gourd and go along for the ride, and it's done in seconds.
Okay.
And yeah.
Okay,
so awesome. It's the easy way to do it. Yeah. And then just if you're making a birdhouse with them, you just want to make sure that you put a couple of holes in the bottom so that if water gets in it, the water can drain out and the gourd can always stay dry.
Wonderful. And then as far as, you know, it's got its natural patina on it, do I need to seal that somehow?
No. No, you don't have to. You can. I would say, like, the best sealer, if it's going to be outside, is going to be beeswax. Yeah.
Okay.
And you can just buy, like, a creamed beeswax at, you know, a wood store or
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then as far as hanging it, what's the, I guess, most secure way to hang that? Just
yeah.
Hole on the top?
Yeah. Yeah. So if it's a, like, I don't know what kind of gourd you have. Is it like a bottle gourd where it's got a bulb on the bottom and a bulb on the top? Yeah. So I just drill a hole straight across in the top bulb, and then I use a crochet hook because I happen to have them.
Yeah.
And I'll put a tie through that using the crochet hook. Now, you would want to use something like either leather or shoelacing as opposed to wire, because the wire in the wind will eventually wear through
it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Wonderful.
All right.
Good luck, Margo.
This weekend.
Thanks. Yeah, well, oh, yeah, good.
Take a photo of it and send it to us.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Margo. Well, let's go to Jan in Watertown next. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I'd like to ask, I'd like to try growing some ornamental, the small ornamental gourds mm-hmm. on a trellis. And I wonder how tall a trellis has to be. And is it possible to grow these in a large pot?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that you can certainly put gourds in like a half oak barrel, but if you have a large pot and you just want to put maybe one or two plants and then maybe as they grow, take out, you know, just leave in that the healthiest plant, one large pot would work. For ornamental gourds, they're great on a trellis. How tall should it be? I would say as tall as you go, it will go. So it's kind of like a goldfish. You give it a lot of room, it's going to take it. But you could do it just with 5 feet maybe of trellis or 6 feet of trellis, and you can train it. So you can just move it around the trellis, and it'll fill the trellis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How many gourds would you get, like on one or two plants?
One plant in a pot, I would guess you probably could get between 25 or 50.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
wow. Yeah. Maybe probably closer to 25.
This is a big pot. I'm guessing 24 inches in diameter approximately.
You could probably put two plants in there. I would put three or four seeds and start three or four seeds and then pull out two of them.
Oh, great. Yeah. Sounds like fun. I want to try them.
Do it.
You're going to have Christmas tree ornaments forever.
Forever.
Thanks a lot, Jan. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, 800-642-1234. Give a call. By the way, I know vendors now at this event on Saturday are going to be selling raw gourds. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you don't have any gourds now but you want to try a birdhouse, I mean, it's the time of the year for it,
yep.
Or maybe just some art.
Yeah.
You can buy
raw gourds there, yeah. The gourd guy will be there. He's always there, and he has a huge supply of gourds. Sometimes there are other vendors that come with a few here, a few there to sell. One thing that he's doing differently this year, I think, is that he's going to have gourd bowls that he's already cut and cleaned, and he's put holes around the rim. So if you want to coil something around the rim to, you know, decorate it, I think he's going to have gourd bowls there this year, and he will have birdhouses that are already cut and have, you know, a hanger on it. Maybe you would want to change your hanger or not, but he will have already cut birdhouses prepared. So then if you wanted to decorate them, it's kind of a good project to buy something like that. And then if you have a girls' night out at your house or whatever, it's something that you can do that's kind of fun and wacky, corny. You know? like being wacky, corny.
Well, we'll take some calls here in just a second, but in addition to the classes where, I mean, there's a bit of lecturing going on there, there are other lectures or, I hate this, the word lecture, talks.
Yeah, right. The vendors definitely do demonstrations and have talks. We used to have lectures like at the noon hour. This year we don't have any lectures going on, but all of the vendors are there to ask and answer questions. Sometimes they'll do demonstrations on things, and sometimes they'll just have an idea of something to talk about for a half hour or whatever, and you can gather around their space. This year we have a little bit more space for the vendors. We have fewer vendors this year than we've had in the past, and so the vendors are going to get a little bit more space, and so there's more room for them to do demonstration or to show you how to do things.
Move around a little bit, So the Linda, by the way, in Ashland wondered how you can harvest and how do you harvest and store gourds?
Mm. So for us, because we're on a farm, we're different than if you're just doing a garden. So if you're doing a garden, I would say once your gourd plant is totally dry, and for me, that means it's gone through at least one hard freeze. So there's no chance that there's anything happening in that plant anymore. Then you can just pick up your gourds and put them on a pallet to dry. I don't recommend bringing them into a basement. basement or into an attached garage, because as they dry, they will mold, and that mold is not good for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't have to bring them in. If you don't need to clean up your garden area, you can leave them out there all winter, and in the spring, they'll be nearly dry and ready to use. It doesn't hurt for the snow actually is good for them, because it breaks down that outer skin that you want off if you're going to decorate it, and so makes it a lot easier to clean.
And they won't rot on the bottom if they're just sitting on the ground?
No. I mean, you can pick them up and put them on a pallet, but you don't have to. We leave ours on the ground all winter and then collect them in the spring, as they're lighter and it's a lot easier to collect them. They're full of water in October, November. You know, so
well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's the easy way to do it as far as I'm concerned.
It is, yeah. And I mean, we are of the mind that, you know, it's kind of survival of the fittest. That if it's a good gourd, it's a good gourd. It's, you know, no mouse is going to go towards it because it's too hard to get into. Very rarely will we have any damage from like deer or something like that. They just don't go towards that. So probably the most damage we get is like in the spring when they're starting to get light. If it's very, very windy, they blow around.
Oh.
But otherwise, yeah, they're fine.
And when you look at one that has been made into a piece of art, I think that's one of the cool things about the festival is that some of the beautiful pieces.
Yeah, we have some fantastic artists. And so this year, some that people will know, Gary Qualheim, who is from Stoughton. He's a great carver, and he uses dyes and carves, like, you know, leaf carvings and acorns and squirrels and owls. He's very artistic, really nice job. Vic Baltramonis from Heartland, I think, the Milwaukee area.
Hartford.
Vic is interesting because he's come such a long way. I remember Vic when he first started, and now he's really good. So he does a lot of carving and painting on them. And then Wes and Jill Nelson, and they're from Marengo, Illinois. And they do a lot of different kinds of birdhouses. And Wes brings his banjo, and he plays behind his stand. He plays his banjo. And they are also beekeepers, and so they sell honey. And so we have some really interesting and great artists.
So if I see a piece, I know there's a judging competition.
Yep.
So those pieces are probably not sold on site, but are there pieces that are sold on site?
Of course, all of the vendors sell their pieces, but all of the art that's in the competition, if the vendor chooses or the artist chooses to sell it, they can. So the competition is judged on Friday night, and the ribbons are all put out Friday night before the festival, and then the artists are able to come in Saturday and see where they placed or whatever, and then they can put their name tag or business card and a price on their piece if they want. The piece has to stay there until 3:30, but they certainly can sell their pieces. And then just for anybody who might be interested in being in the competition, on the Wisconsin Gourd Society website festival page, there is a list of all of the competition categories and competition entry forms. And if you have some art that you've done and you just don't see a category that might fit what you've done, it doesn't matter. Bring it in, because we have wild card categories and we have professionals that are doing the intake on these pieces who can look at a piece and say, oh, I know this should go in sculpting or this should go in whatever. And
So
we do have quite a nice competition.
And, you know, somebody sitting out there, well, I've got my 6-year-old and my 8-year-old. Can I bring them along, or what are they going to find out?
To the festival, yes.
Yeah.
And while we're still on the competition thing, we have a youth category for children. And this year, we're not. There is a fee to be in the competition overall. I think it's $3. Per piece, or 2 for $5, but we are not charging for youth this year. So the youngest kids don't have to charge to put their stuff in. We're trying to sort of encourage them to put things in. And so I think we actually have a couple of Girl Scout troops that are going to participate this year. So that's kind of cool. But then overall for kids, there is we have these big posters of the alphabet, and each letter represents a gourd. So like A is for apple gourd, and B is for bottle gourd, and C is for cannonball or whatever. So you can learn your gourd types through the alphabet. They have usually face painting. They have make and take projects, so they can make
little
decorate gourds, and they can make pins and necklaces and various and sundry things. So they can plant a gourd seed and take that off with them and hopefully grow something.
And so, anybody who's interested in saying, oh, you know what, I want to learn how to grow gourds, am I going to learn that there? You can.
You absolutely can. If you want to learn how to grow gourds, the gourd guy is there, and he's the one to tell you exactly what to do. And if you have a question about, you know, bring in a gourd, if you don't know what it is, bring it in, and he'll tell you what kind of gourd it is. And if you want to get ideas for what to do with your gourds, if you have a gourd and you don't know what to do with it, bring it in and look at everybody else's art, and you'll get ideas. And artists will, all the vendors are just more than happy to talk to you about what you can do with them.
Yeah, it's really a lot of fun. And I don't know, it's just a nice way to spend a Saturday.
It's a good way to spend the day. The other things that we have available there, our membership table offers Gourd Society t-shirts and totes. They have a raffle. We have sponsors who donate things for us. So usually our raffle includes a gourd saw kit, which is a, you know, maybe a $125 or $130 value, and then a gourd how-to books and things like that that we raffle off. We also have a silent auction, so all of the vendors and all of the teachers donate pieces that are sold at the silent auction. And what else do we have?
Goodness, it sounds like a lot already.
Lots of things on display. Yeah.
And of course, parking and admission are free. Wonderful parking there.
Yep.
And no cost to get in. There is a cost if you sign up for the art class. But
there's a cost for the art class. And I think if you go in Olbrich itself, up in the upstairs, what's that called? They have the plants,
atrium.
The atrium upstairs. Mm-hmm. I think there's a cost to get in there to see some of those plants.
$2. Like,
yeah, a dollar or two. Yeah, if you're. Yeah.
It used to be a dollar, and right. I think it might have gone up. I'm a member there.
100% increase.
I don't remember. I don't remember what it costs anymore.
Yeah.
But it's $1 or $2 at the maximum.
It's minimal.
So,
right?
And it's fun then also just to wander the gardens.
Oh, absolutely! This is going to be a great weekend. I think it's going to be beautiful. So
yeah. Well, it's always a pleasure, Terry. I want to thank you so much for being with us today. The Midwest Gourd Fest, April 14th. 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
It is. Yep. Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, thank you so much. And the website is?
www.wisconsingourdsociety.org.
And then you have a site.
We do, and we are thegourdguy.com, www.thegourdguy.com. Easy to remember.
Always a pleasure, Terry. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, I tell you what if you're out there harvesting your gourds and a black bear comes by? What do you do? We'll find out from our next guest next what to do when you encounter something like that. Here on the Ideas Network, coming up, we'll be visiting with Rachel Levin, author of a new book. It's called Look Big, here on the Ideas Network.